It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, as spring break nears, our guest says there are precautions that travelers who are looking to destinations further south should keep in mind given the Zika outbreak.
But first, we're following the news that Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson is one of a handful of Senate Republicans willing to meet with Merrick Garland, President Obama's Supreme Court nominee, announced earlier this week.
That doesn't mean those Republicans would vote to confirm Garland or even hold confirmation hearings, meaning the confirmation could be in limbo for months.
Joining us now to talk about the latest on the politics behind the nomination is Amber Phillips. She covers politics at The Washington Post. Amber, welcome to Central Time.
Happy to be here.
Well, can you give us a sense of how many Republican senators might be, perhaps, willing to bend toward meeting or maybe a hearing with President Obama's Supreme Court nominee?
Yeah, so meeting is a little bit easier to count. Right now, there's, by my count, six senators, including, as you mentioned, Senator Ron Johnson, who've indicated or even said outright they'd be willing to sit down with Judge Merrick Garland. One of those is quite a powerful senator in this process. It's Chuck Grassley, who heads the Senate committee that's in charge of even, you know, holding hearings for Garland and considering him. But, you know, huge caveat here, almost all of those senators say this meeting means nothing. It's a common courtesy. You know, one senator, I think it was Susan Collins of Maine, even said, I'm just sitting down with him to explain to him why I won't vote for him or why I won't, you know, I won't even consider him. And so I think optimistic Democrats might read this as a sign that Republicans are starting to see the light about Merrick Garland. But I would argue it's just, you know, them extending a common courtesy, really.
So if it means nothing, why bother with the formality? Is there the sense that it will appeal to a certain subset of voters who might be interested in what they do?
Yeah, well, that's the question. I think everyone's trying to balance this small slice of truly independent voters, especially in states like Wisconsin, where they're trying to game out on both sides, you know, if those voters, A, are even paying attention to this confirmation battle and who sits down with who and who talks with who, and if those voters are going to make that an issue when they go to the ballot box. I think almost everyone agrees that it's probably not the main issue that's going to drive most people off their couch and to go vote, but it could be something that sways an independent voter, you know, when they're deciding between Ron Johnson and Russ Feingold, you know, in November, for example. And so I wonder if Senate Republicans in agreeing to meet with Garland are seeing how that plays out. You know, like they can sort of back off the claim that they're being obstructionist by saying, hey, I sat down with the guy. I chatted about, you know, his judicial philosophy. I don't think he's right, and I don't think the time is right to nominate him.
Is there any polling out there about what this group of independent voters could possibly want to see?
Yeah, we have some interesting polling from the Washington Post recently, and it came out before President Obama announced Judge Garland was his choice for the Supreme Court. But it showed that by a margin of 2-1, independent voters support the Senate holding hearings. So, you know, that suggests when you break that down among Democrats and Republicans, it's clearly along party lines. But this polling of independent voters suggests that they might be amenable to Democrats' arguments that Senate Republicans aren't doing their job, that they're breaking with historic precedent and with the constitutional duties and not, you know, even considering Garland. So I think there is, you know, there are Republicans who have to be conscious of how this plays out among those truly undecided independent voters.
And you mentioned some names in a group of Republican senators who might be willing to bend, maybe to meet with Merrick Garland, President Obama's Supreme Court nominee, and use the umbrella vulnerable. Who else is in that group, and how vulnerable are they?
Yeah, well, there's a handful, I would say, about 3, 4, 5, 6 Senate Republicans who are up for re-election in states that are either blue, like Senator Mark Kirk in Illinois, or kind of, you know, purple or swingy, and tend to get more blue in Democratic in a presidential year. That would include Senator Ron Johnson, in Ohio, Senator Rob Portman, Kelly Ayotte in New Hampshire, all these guys and gals kind of have to really watch their steps in November, because Democrats have put up, for the most part, formidable challengers to these Senate Republicans, and are hoping to kick them out in a presidential year when Democrats tend to come out and vote in higher numbers. And so there's about 3, 4, 5, 6 Senate Republicans that really have to walk a tightrope right now, and having this Supreme Court confirmation battle front and center for them is tough, definitely not what they wanted.
Amber Phillips is a political reporter for The Washington Post, and we're talking with her right now about the latest on the Supreme Court nomination of Merrick Garland, whether there is a group of senators who could be willing to meet, maybe showing signs of softening toward Merrick Garland, President Obama's nominee for the Supreme Court. And another group, we talked about some of the vulnerable senators. What about the centrists who don't have a lot to lose?
Right. Yeah, there are some longtime Senate Republicans who have been in the Senate, like I said, for a long time, who are kind of institutionalists and can make the argument. Susan Collins of Maine, who I just mentioned, is one of them, can make the argument, I think that it's never been done before in history to hold up a Supreme Court nominee for an entire year. I think we're stretching it a little bit too much, guys. Let's at least hold hearings. We don't have to vote for the guy. We don't have to confirm it, but let's at least look, like we're trying to consider him. And I say those guys don't have a lot to lose because they've been in the Senate for a long time. They're not facing primary challengers. They're not facing general election challengers. Most of them are in pretty safe Republican states. And I think if everyone in the Senate were in that situation, we might be having a totally different conversation about Judge Garland and whether he gets nominated. But the fact of the matter is that really control of the Senate hinges on November, and whether these vulnerable incumbents can keep their jobs. And so I just think that Senate Republicans have decided the best way to keep control of the Senate is to really hold the line and not bother to consider Judge Garland at all.
Is there a sense at all among these groups of senators that you're talking about, the centrists, the vulnerable, that by meeting with Merrick Garland that they are somehow crossing Mitch McConnell and could have a price to pay down the road?
That's a great question. Mitch McConnell, of course, at the very beginning said, we're not going to hold hearings within hours of Justice Scalia dying. And then he has since come out and said, I'm not going to be meeting with him either. But you watch the guy who's right there along with McConnell, holding the line, Chuck Grassley from Iowa, saying, I'd be okay to meet with him. But I get the sense that Democrats feel Senate Republicans are not on message at all, because you do have some being willing to meet with them, some saying they'd take a vote, others wondering out loud whether the Senate might confirm Garland in the lame duck session. You get the sense that Senate Republicans aren't necessarily on message, but I don't know that indicates that they are crossing or trying to undermine their leader. For the most part, all of them, including vulnerable incumbents, say, hold the line and say that they're not going to vote for him.
And what about, these meetings happen, maybe an actual a hearing happens, that this thing could pick up some momentum and become harder to stop?
Sure, that's quite possible. Never say never, especially in this election cycle. And if that happens, I think it comes down to two things. One, the Senate is a place for one person, and one person in particular, the leader of the Senate, Mitch McConnell, has ultimate power whether to hold a vote or not. And if he decides, as he has, that this is the best course to keep the Senate, he's not going to bring Garland up for a vote, even if he comes out of, sterling reviews out of the committee that reviewed him. But then I think, let's say, even then, if McConnell decides to acquiesce and let a vote happen, you need 14 Senate Republicans to join with Democrats to overcome a filibuster that Senator Ted Cruz has promised to launch to confirm him. And it's really tough to see 14 Republicans crossing party lines, especially when things are so polarized right now.
And Amber, just very quickly before we let you go, Jim from Rice Lake has a question. He wants to know, could Republicans quick rush Merrick Garland's approval if Clinton were to be elected?
You know, that is something that Senate Republicans have wondered out loud. I heard Senator Jeff Flake from Arizona asked that out loud to reporters yesterday. And the thought process there is, of course, if Clinton is wins the nomination and then becomes president in November, we wake up and she's suddenly indicating that she's going to nominate someone super far to the left. Suddenly, Merrick Garland, who for all intents and purposes is relatively moderate, might look pretty nice to Republicans. But that being said, it's a possibility, but the Senate's number two, John Cornyn, quashed that down yesterday pretty quickly. He just said it's just not appropriate to be approving someone to the Supreme Court in a lame duck session of Congress. That brings up a whole host of constitutional and politically thorny questions.
Amber, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
That was Amber Phillips. She covers politics for The Washington Post. She joined us there to talk about the latest on the Supreme Court nomination of Merrick Garland.